many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. As I look at all the victories, a spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. You hold on, Mama, Lord's coming. She never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy or the hill would not be
emphasis is going to be on God and how He can make those things jail for us this morning. Look at Mark chapter 2 and look at verse 1. And again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they come unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. I want to clarify for you here in this passage in verse 3 that it wasn't He was born of four brothers. But what the Scriptures are indicating here is that this man that was sick of the palsy was brought to Jesus in the house by four. There was one on every corner of this couch or bed, okay? So it's not making reference to his family. It's actually making reference to his friends, how many was carrying him, this man who could not carry himself. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh or near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, and they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but only God, they said. And immediately in verse 8, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins. Amen. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose up to the bed, up the bed, and went forth before all them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Make a note this morning in Luke chapter 5, and you find at verse 17, this is Luke's account of this same very story in his gospel. And I want to make reference this morning to that by letting you know in Luke 5:17, when he said that there were those in the house in verse 6, when he talks, makes reference to the scribes, he also is mentioning that these people were the Pharisees and the studiers of the law, these scribes, and also the people there with their opinion. I want to read that verse to you, and then we're going to pray for God's blessings to be added to it. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, and this is his account, his gospel. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town. Look at this now. There's a variety of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your many blessings. God, thank you this morning that all things can be done through Christ and Christ alone. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning, the title of our message is Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Aren't you so glad he's here this morning? The Bible says, where two or three or more gathered in his name, he says, there I am also in the midst of them. So he's here, may I remind you this morning. We're not alone. I don't stand up and preach and mount this pulpit by myself, but I stand here in reference and in the presence of God Almighty. Amen? This morning, Jesus in the house. I've just got to say this, that which is in me, I cannot deny this. But Jesus is in the house, and he's raising the roof, and he's got the house full. Amen. That'll preach. May God help us do that. Not only that, but he's tearing the roof off. That'll preach too. This morning, family day. I look around, I see multitudes of families. But I want you to think about something this morning. God's given us families because he felt like you could be a good dad. He felt like you could be a good mom. He felt like, children, that you could grow up and be good children, good lights for Christ, because Christ loves children. And he believed that you could become. God would not have designed you, created you just to self-destruct. But God created you in order that you would magnify and glorify the name of God. Now listen to me this morning. I'm fixing to get in this message. And I know that our time is limited. But I need to feel you out there today, okay? I want you to say amen even when it hurts. And if you need to shout out or squeeze out an oh me because I'm on your toes and I missed my mark and I was shooting for your heart, then say it. Let's practice one time. Everybody together, amen. Amen. Yes, we can preach. I know that you're with me. You got my back. The sheep and the shepherd should stick together, amen. Lest the shepherd be smited and the sheep be scattered abroad. I want to look at three things this morning that's going to make this miracle possible in your house. We're going to your house this morning. You know where you live? You know where you reside? Well, we're going to pray that God this morning, with our willingness and full surrender, that God's will be done complete and absolute in our homes, maybe even witnessing a miracle of ourselves and not just reading about one on this July 26th. Jesus is in the house. Let's grab hold of that this morning. There's three things that we must do in order to witness a miracle in the house. I want to go to our very first one this morning. You make note of this. The first thing that we have got to do, families, the first thing we've got to do if we want to witness miracles in our houses is we have got to drop the pride and pick up the problem. You've got to drop the pride and pick up the problem. So here we are this morning, collectively, individually, we are picking up that problem that we brought with us to church this morning. God been praying about it. If you've got one, you know exactly what I'm talking about because our spirits bear witness with one another. That is, if you have the same spirit in you that I have in me. Now this morning, you've got a problem. You can't tell me that everybody here, there's no exception to the rule. I'm saying there is no exception to the rule. There's nobody here got a perfect house. If it is, maybe that's why you hadn't invited me over for supper. Because you don't want it to be imperfected. This morning, we all have that little thing. It may be that we've got it so close that we just want to just tweak it just a little bit. And you just haven't been able to do that. You're praying for a miracle. You're asking God to rain down His presence on you. And you know that God can do it. Let me share with you this morning. Drop the pride. The pride is a wall that will prohibit you from going any further in this service. Drop it. And as you drop it and you're bent down already, pick up the problem that you have. Now, I need you to take that problem this morning in your pew. I need you to pick it up. I need you to hold it in these two hands. And I need you to keep it in front of you for the remainder of this service. Whatever that problem may be, I want you to keep it front and center. Don't you lose it. You keep a hold on it because you're going to do something with it before it's over with. Are you ready? Is my car running out there? We might as well go. Let's try this again. Now, church, I'm serious now. I'm going to just quit right. I'm going to read the scripture, tell you my 3 points, and I'm going to close in prayer. Or you want me to preach? Want me to preach? Then say, preach!
Preach.
Amen.
Amen!
Don't forget that. Let's go! Drop the pride. You got the problem. Everybody got your problem in front of you? Give me a hearty amen. Okay. Don't lose sight of it. Because you can't see your problem if you still got your pride. You understand me? You follow me this morning. You will not see your problem, so you're not even going to attempt to hold it if you can't drop your pride. Drop your pride. See your problem. Here we go. The way I mean that is because these men, what they did was there was a man sick of palsy. This paralytic man, he could not walk. He could not help himself. So these 4 men, over a series of events, can you imagine the money that was spent, the time that was spent in doctors' offices, in those prayers, in those petitions that this man may have had? But listen, there's a lot of times we pray, there's many times that we want our way, but we're not willing to drop our pride and pick up the problem. So this morning, in order to go any further, that is essential. So what happens is, after a series of times, this is a man. All indication is this man had been sick for a long time. He may have been born this way. And there's been a series of events and methods and different approaches, but none of them have worked because he is now a man. And he's still a paralytic. He can't help himself. And you know and I know, there's many times I don't want people helping me because I'm too prideful. I don't want to be somebody else's burden. I'd rather help somebody than them help me. I understand that. I'm the same way you are. But I'm telling you, if there's a problem and you still got that problem and it's been there for a long time, you need help. You can't do it by yourself. So, they take a new approach. Can I submit to you this morning that the Bible says in verse 1, this is the second time Jesus has come to Capernaum? He didn't make this attempt on the first time. Jesus has already been there. He didn't take this approach because He had another method. He had another way. He could handle it. He could deal with it. But He was dead wrong. But here come the second time around. Jesus is in Capernaum. These guys say, we know what will work. The only thing that will work. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And the Bible says that they took Him. He was accompanied by four. And they grab Him in this bed. And they grab each corner. And they travel a long distance. And they carry Him to this house. But when they get to the house, they find there's no room for them. Look at our second point. You need to be able to pass over the press. First, you've dropped your pride. You've picked up your problem. But secondly, you've got to be willing to pass over the press if you want to see a miracle in your house. Will you look with me in the Scripture where it says in verse 4, and when they come not, when they come and they were near unto Him, for the press, the Bible says. Look at that comma, for the press. Can I tell you this morning that there were several things you need to make note of this morning that was in the way. There was this press. What did this press consist of? You know, in a press, there's not much room, or else the juice would not be extracted from the grape. The press means there's no room for nothing else. There is room for nothing else. I'm going to squeeze every ounce of everything that comes through this press. But this press consisted of the Pharisees. The Bible told us in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and with his account in the Gospel I read to you earlier, it says that there were Pharisees there. Well, let's look at the Pharisees for a minute. They brought prestige. They brought prestige of the Word of God. Because of the way they were dressed and their self-righteousness, which Jesus called them hypocrites. And there they were in that house on this day, this second visit to Capernaum Jesus has made. And when these men get to the door, they see where there are Pharisees there. And what would be so tempting here, church, is to take the prestige of God's Word and adapt your life to it. So many people are doing it. But can I submit something to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen? The prestige of the Word that the Pharisees had, there was one thing they were missing that day. They may have had the prestige, but they did not have the power that day. Jesus had the power. Be careful of those things that separate us from actually getting to Jesus Himself, because we have a tendency to stop at those things which look prestigious about the Word of God. Make sure you're getting the real thing. And that's deep. Don't stop with the prestige. You go all the way till you find the power of Christ. Secondly, that day there were scribes there. The Bible makes reference that they were lawgivers. Well, these people interpreted the Word of God. They were great students of the Word of God. They knew the Old Testament Scriptures. That was their duty, their calling, and they were able to interpret, but they were not able to impact people's lives. They were the ones who stand up and read the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this morning, the one inside the house wrote it. They're reading it. He wrote it. I want to go to the source. That's who's going to impact my life. I don't need an interpretation. I need somebody to impact my life. This is still a part of the press. We've seen the Pharisees in their prestige. We've seen the scribes or the lawgivers in their interpretation and their reading. But what about people? There are just common people that are there looking for the same thing this paralytic man was being carried for. There was a press, my friend. You ever been to a house when someone had passed away? And you see a lot of the time there's a big gathering. The living rooms are full. The kitchens are full. The porches is full. The parking lots are full. We've all been to a place where it was full. And the first instinct was, I don't need to be here. I don't like being around all them people. I feel like I got to entertain these people. Or that these people's already taken their place. Who am I to get in there and take their place? They said that they were going to make a way. Extract something from the Word of God this morning that you may be able to tend to that problem that you hold in your two hands. And know this. Not only do you need to drop your pride, pick up your problem. Not only do you need to learn how to pass over the Passover, but you need to be able to plan how you're going to get in His presence. Listen to me, church. When those men left and they were on their journey, they never in one moment in time on their journey were their thoughts in how exactly they were going to get to Christ. They were the determined people who said, I am going to get in there. Whatever it takes. And I'm going to tell you what God's looking for today. He's looking for people who can make this bold and profound statement. Whatever it takes, I'll do. Do you know what whatever means? Whatever means everything. That over your wife, your children, your job, your home, your dreams, that you would be willing to take all of that and say, God, You are number one. Whatever it takes, that's what I'll do. No clauses in this plan. No fine little writing. Whatever it takes. That's what I'll do. Can I tell you something about the third part of the press? These people, they were full of their opinions. Have you ever been anywhere and not got an ear full of opinions? Can I tell you something, church? They have a tendency of swaying them. Not the ones that are right down black and white, but those that hang out in the gray area in between black and white, they have a tendency of swaying it. You know as well as I do, hanging around other people, you'll pick up their dialect, their personality, their little quotes, their little sayings. What they do impacts you many times before you even realize it. That's why they always say you know about the company you keep. You will become and become a product of that which you dwell. That's a Mac Daddy quote. Friend, I'm telling you this morning that these people probably stood at the door. Can't you see them a minute? Come on, church. Come on. Here they are. They're standing there. And what they're doing is they're standing at the door. And these men walk up. Okay, draw a picture. Let's get real. Here they are. They're walking up with this sick man who's moaning and groaning. And this man looks helpless, maybe even foaming at the mouth. He can't even move. He can't help himself. And these four men determined, they're worn down and they're lathered. They're ready to go home and get a bath and get something to eat. But they said at all costs, with determination and God, whatever it takes, I'm going to get this man in that house. And they get there when they did. They didn't let the prestige stop them. They didn't let these lawgivers who knew the complete and appropriate interpretation of the Word of God stop them. They just said, I'm going to get to where Jesus is. They didn't let these people who have a tendency of swaying us, giving us their, I don't want to hear nobody's opinion. I want to hear the fact. Listen, they got their opinions. God's got the facts. Amen? Give me some facts. I want to know who's going to be holding my hand 100 years from now. He ain't. She ain't. Either he will be or he won't be. And life is but a steep, a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And we live as if we're going to live 1,000,000 years with no regard to eternity. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no one going to die and go to hell. Because everybody that you bury, nobody's going to hell. I ain't been to a funeral yet in 20-something funerals. Nobody ain't went to hell. Everybody's dying and going to heaven. Then why do I need to even be here this morning? Why do I need to preach the gospel? Everybody's perfect. How can I improve perfection? It's because God knows people stop at the prestige of the Word. God knows that people stop at the interpretation of the Word. And God knows that more people than not stop at the opinion of the Word. When church, I'll tell you right now, I want the power that's going to impact me. Give me the facts. I want to tell me like it is. I want to hear it now. I don't want to wait till I get there and hear it. I want to hear it now. So if I need to get straight or get corrected, let's do it now. Let's get it over with. Amen. See, I can do it too. But your plan to be in His presence this morning is impacted by those things you have to pass on. On their way that day, they got to the door. They heard those three things that I just mentioned in the press. And they said, let's go home. Did they say that, church? Not these people. You know why? They were determined. They were desperate. Nothing else they had tried worked. But they were not going to miss this golden opportunity. How many times was Jesus going to come around to Capernaum? They didn't know. That wasn't for them to decide. Their decision is, what will I do with the opportunity that I do have present? So they get there, and instead of... Now, this is where most good people... Listen to me a minute. This is where... Note this. Write this down. This is where most good people... This is where all good people stop. Hear me now. You need to make note of this. All good people stop at the press. But all godly people pass over the press. Hear me now. Because there are none good but the Father. Jesus quoted that. All good people stop at the press. All godly people pass over the press. Because you're not godly unless you live in His presence. There is no such thing as self-righteousness. It is His righteousness indwelt in you. So if you stop at the press, you're relying on your own ability. But when you say, no matter whatever it takes, I'm going to get to where that man's at, then you said, I want to be godly, not just goodly. Good ain't going to get you into heaven, friend. I'm telling you right now, some of the best people in the world live in Effingham. And y'all go to church here and you don't believe that? I said, oh, some of the best people in the world live in Effingham. Amen. Amen. I'll stay. I'll sit in the mood. Friend, I'm telling you right now. But I can go tell you right now, they some of those men and women who's got better morals and values than a lot of your church-going people today, and they're going to bust hell wide open. They're going to burn in hell forever. Let's just get real. Let's cut through the hype. They're going to burn. Am I trying to scare you? No. Just take note of that. It's going to happen. Unless they find Jesus. Because these good, moral people are stopping at the prayer. I don't want to be around the people. I don't want to hear their opinion. I'm tired of their prestige. I'm tired of their interpretation. Well, I'm telling you, friend, we better settle it today. Whatever it takes to get to Him, that's what we better be willing to do. Give it to me like it is here, preacher. I don't want to hear it there. I want to hear it here first so I can get it set. So they climb up on this flat roof, and there's a small hatchway, and that was the design of the homes during that day. But this little small hatch won't get the couch in there. So they got to start pulling tiles off. The Bible even says in Mark chapter 2, they broke it up. Could you imagine breaking an entry to get to Jesus? Huh? Burglar! You ought to be a preacher. You can have a lot of fun in preaching.
Amen?
Amen? I'm serious. It's exciting. You don't never know what you're going to get into.
Amen.
It's adventuresome. And I encourage our young men, because you can't tell me there ain't some young men in this church going to be called to preach. Good at preaching they get around here, they ought to be. Oh, me. Inspired. Encouraged. The thing you've got to ask yourself this morning is this problem that you've got in your hand. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get it to Jesus? You don't understand, and I don't understand sometimes, exactly what it takes to get to Jesus sometimes. The path is always not clear. It's not always lit up with light and a very nice map. You don't have a GPS sometimes where you can program in there an exact address of Jesus Christ, trying to find out exactly where He may be in order that you can get from where you are to His presence. But God has given us enough wit and enough knowledge in our human nature that we understand that there are things that are missing and things that are broken, and we've taken several approaches and methods and they have not worked. You know that this morning. You understand this morning that Jesus is the only way. But how easy would it have been when they got to that house just to say, listen, and I've done it. We'll come back at a later time. You been there, church? Raise your hand. How many times did you sit in a service? Did you ever sit in a service before you got your life right with God and say, I'll do it some other time? Raise your hand. And at least half of you are going to heaven. And friend, I'm going to share something with you this morning as we close out that I hope will impact you forever. The Bible says in the closing remarks in Luke 5:17 that in that house there was the power of God to heal. Can I share one side note to you? Because there was a speaker at our national convention who said it's okay to run rabbits as long as they're biblical. And every service needs a little meddling. I'm not getting no amens on that, but he said it. Have you ever seen people on their deathbed and people said, just read Scripture to them? Were they just reading Scripture to tickle their ears? You know why I encouraged you so much a couple of weeks ago to read your Bible? Because, see, when you read your Bible, the power of God is so ever present to heal and save and redeem. Reading the Word. What are two things that must take place in our homes in order to see miracles? Christ has to be in the center. Is that not where He's at here? He's in the house. Number two, the preaching of the Word of God was in the house. What is also essential in homes to witness a miracle there? For the Word of God to be open and read. Because it is there that the power of God is there to redeem and to save. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, what happens when we hear the Word of God? Saved. What do you have to have in order to be saved? faith. If your faith come by hearing of the Word of God, then you can't tell me this morning that it does not reveal the power of God and make it so ever-present. In this house this morning, where Jesus is at, this sanctuary, Jesus is present, and because of the reading and the preaching of the Word of God, the power of God is in this place to heal, to save, redeem, to straighten the crooked, to redeem that which is lost. God can do it. And many times we're still 18 inches away from making that decision. You've got it on your brain, but for some reason you can't get it down to your heart. And it's what's in your heart that's going to save you, not what's in your brain. When you get to the door of heaven and you're asked, why should you enter? Will it be because of what you knew in your mind? Will it be because you were here every time the doors were open? It'll be because of the blood. Jesus is in the house. And I've got to be willing this morning in every aspect of my life, I've got to be willing that if it requires climbing up on the top of a roof in order to get my problem to God, I've got to do it. Whatever it takes. Me and Brother Mike were walking out of one of our hospitals here a few months ago. And there was this elderly woman, and she was inside the car, and she was parked right in front of the hospital. As you walked out the doors, it was the first thing you saw. And there was a security guard standing there at the car. And the older gentleman looked to be her husband. And standing there, they were trying to coach this woman into opening the door. In her age and maybe her condition, she didn't quite understand. She needed some help, some guidance. And when they did, I seen them there and they were trying to tell her, ma'am, just push that button right there. Ma'am, all you got, just push that button. And that guard was standing there just saying, right here, there it is, right there. Will you just push that button right there and you can get out of the trouble that you're in. This problem that you're facing, if you'll just push that little button right there, you'll be free. And this morning, there are people like us who have these problems in our houses because Christ is not the center of them, nor is the Word of God being broke. And we're looking for a way out. And you understand that this paralytic man found a way out because they found a way in. Overcoming the press. All that woman had to do was push the button. It's her problem is gone. This morning, you're sitting in a car. There are people standing outside the window saying, just do this. Just do this. Just push this button. And you'll be free. And this morning, before God and people, I will tell you this morning, it is as easy as pushing a button. I've experienced it. I've witnessed it. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, that problem that you have in front of you this morning, if you're willing to pass over the press, and if you're willing to take the plan to get into His presence with the mentality that whatever it takes, that's what I'll do, then I'll tell you where it's going to start. It's going to start in this house. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to make a ready invitation this morning. I'm going to have you bow your heads just for a moment. All eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to be honest with me. No one else is looking around. Preacher Mike, this morning, I have that problem this morning. I've let my pride down. I've let my guard down, and I've put that problem right in front of me. Will you raise your hand this morning so I can pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Can I share something with you this morning just before we sing? That paralytic man could have never got to Jesus by himself. He couldn't have crawled. He couldn't have walked. He couldn't have talked his way. But it took someone else taking him before Jesus. Now listen to this twofold altar call. Number one, if you're one this morning who's got that problem and you're man or woman enough this morning to bring it to God, then as the music plays, I'm going to ask you to come. And I want you to give that problem to God. But this is what you're going to have to do. You leave that problem on the altar. Don't you dare put it back in your pocket when you walk away, because you won't feel the change. You'll be left with the prestige, the interpretation, and the opinion. You will not leave with the power or the impact or the facts of God. But I want you to bring that problem to God this morning, and I want you to say, God, you told me in your word in 1 Peter 5:7, you said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want you to cast it this morning. Secondly, if there's someone you know that's lost, who is sick, who has not been healed, I believe by the opening and the preaching of God's Word, that presents the power of God. This morning, what I want you to do is I want you to bring your paralytic to God. I want you to bring the one who couldn't be here this morning, the one who was not able to be here this morning, I want you to bring that paralytic to God this morning. Whatever it takes, you get it to God. And I'll guarantee you, as God is my witness, I need not even preach if this Bible is not true. God will deliver. God will answer. He will show up and He will change your life. Take away your problem and help that paralytic in your life. And I want you to do this morning without any tarry or any hesitation, giving no thought to anything else. It is Christ and Christ alone. You bring it to Him and cast your care.